My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. Could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And today is Tuesday, March 5th in the year 2024. What's going on? And a lot of crazy stuff going on. We're really continuing to spiral into, I think, the most obvious takeover we've ever seen in history. And yet, I think people are so consumed with their own worries, ills, and willful compliance and fear of standing up against the system that literally we're coming into a place where the zombie apocalypse isn't one of walking around with bodies with flesh falling off their bones, but literally it's living, we're living through it every single day, which is very concerning because this is a republic, obviously not a democracy. Another one of the constant and misquoted statements over and over, even by President Trump. This is not a democracy. This is a republic. And with that, everybody has the rights that are given to them by God. And this is one of the big things right there that is so different, is that in a democracy, it's the mob rule. When the mob votes and the mob comes together, then the mob votes and everybody has to comply. But in the republic, it's not mob rule at all. It's each one of us has sovereign rights. And because of that, you can't, not one or the other can exclude you, or for that matter, force you to do certain things by a mob rule. And that's what they're trying to rewrite and write over, which creates a constant and persistent problem for the ruling elite. And hence the reason I think that there's so much emphasis constantly on trying to twist this knowledge of who we are, because at the end of the day, as stated in the Declaration of Independence, our rights are given to us by our Creator, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And those basic rights, no one can ever take away. So the way you take them away is to legislate them into people's, out of people's lives, so that they truly believe that the police and the IRS and HHS and all these other groups honestly have more authority than you do. And therefore, the fear of not complying is the way that they get you to release your own rights and rules. Some crazy things going on there. We're going to talk all about that here in just a little bit. So one thing real quick, we are definitely in an insane period of time, and in terms of stability and knowing very clearly that what we are facing right now is very different than other times. We have a enemy right now that is willing to use anything and everything to control us, and that includes food. So don't get caught short. There is a lot of things going on that is being clear that what is happening is not the truth. And because of that, people's suspicions continue to unfold. And because they unfold, it's going to create a cascade of things when the truth begins to be revealed. It's even worse. It's hard to believe that anyone has to say about anything. And that's where we don't know really where to go and what to do. So right now, the best thing you can do is to prepare for what we can't see, which is the likelihood of them trying to use food as a weapon system. It's around us. The food plants have been burnt. They've been literally been incinerating food plants, distribution centers, processing centers all over the world in the thousands. They're creating chaos, and they're creating situations where food will become a weapon system. So head on over to preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. Right then you can find the 3-month emergency food kits, and they are exactly what you need. They are packed with the food you need to supply or sustain yourself, and it's all done by My Patriot Supply, the biggest supplier and best supplier in the nation. You can save $200 on this current kit. This is the latest offer from them, and it's a great offer for everybody. So these food kits have taken care of millions of American families. They're part of the basic food kits that everybody needs, and I would just encourage you to make it part of yours. They provide 2,000 calories a day. They're sealed in heavy-duty sealing packages that have a shelf life of 25 years, which is amazing. So head on over to preparewithbards.com. And there's many different kits. This is one of them. But right now, you can take advantage of the 3-month emergency food kit. And if you order by 3 p.m., you get fast free shipping same day, which is fantastic. So head on over to preparewithbards.com and check it out. Interesting, the sorts of craziness that were going on. Here's an analysis or a comparison to what I was saying at the beginning. Slaves owned by the Pharaoh were required to pay the Pharaoh 20% of their income. Now, fast forward, and that was in 2500 BC, by the way. Slaves today, we aren't slaves, that's right. That was just a little Freudian slip there. Taxpayers, U.S. taxpayers, free American taxpayers. That's better said. Free American taxpayers today who live under liberty and the Constitution and aren't slaves have to pay their U.S. taxpayer masters 24.8% of their income. Then they have to pay sales tax, property tax, gas tax, and many others. Huh. Wow, that's something. If you were a slave, you would have been paying less tax. Makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? The cost of freedom, I guess, is what they call that. The cost of liberty and the cost of freedom means you need to pay us more, because if you're going to use that word, it's going to cost you a whole lot of money. I'll tell you, this is just insane. I really want to start here with a piece that is probably, it's a little bit long, but I want to play this. I think it's important to set the context for a lot of things in just the whole day as we think through stuff. But this is Julian Assange's wife. I have not, and I've told you this, I've kind of stayed out of the Julian Assange fight. But I'm getting more and more into this because of the nature of this. There's been a lot of conspiracies around Assange. naturally. No one's surprised there. Why wouldn't there be? The fundamental truth is that WikiLeaks has been probably one of the most important change agents in our time. The ability for truth to change a world really was sparked and lit. That fire was lit by Julian Assange's effort with WikiLeaks. And what made his journalism so unique is that not only did he deliver the truth in source documents, they delivered an analysis to go along with it. So if you read the source documents and the analysis, you were always open to make your own opinion. They weren't drawing you down necessarily a raw judgment on things. One of the things that had happened with WikiLeaks and Julian Assange was the revealing of state secrets. Most notably for our side in the U.S. is that there was some revealing of some mass murders that happened in Iraq. People don't like that, and they don't like that very uncomfortable place of knowing that citizens and innocents were killed in the art of war or the acts of war, especially when you're in the fervor of war. I was in Afghanistan when some of these leaks came out, and I can tell you my own position was very harsh against Julian Assange, and I openly state that. And in retrospect, it was unjust, because what we were dealing with was a system that itself was more unjust than we realized at the time. This isn't to diminish efforts ever of what soldiers give their lives for, or the fact that there are true enemies, and there were. The problem is that warfare and the military aren't typically political, but when politics gets involved and you start to look at and you're justifying the slaughter of people, including like the slaughter of children, there is no justification. We're seeing that now with this war with Israel. We had the same atrocities in Iraq. We slaughtered hundreds of thousands of young children as part of the fight. Now, one, we can argue that that was part of the fight of the purge, and it was really a purge. It wasn't a surge. But we always have to go back to origins and motives for warfare. Most soldiers today that are walking, that are awake, are questioning motives of war. It's not that, and this is where we have to, I think, as a public, be very mature in this, because when you're in conflict and you have somebody trying to kill you, this gets to be very personal. This is the thing about war I've talked about before, but it's worth really reflecting on. When someone's trying to kill you, your fight waters down to something very simple, the man on your right and the man on your left. Now, if you watch Black Hawk Down and you go to the end and you see Hoot, the guy at the end, who's based on a real character and in part shaped by a person who's been on this show, that character in the movie, which is Joe Vega, he makes that very famous comment. It's like, it's not about politics. It's about the man on your right and the man on your left. Because war becomes very personal. The bonds that you build, and this is the psychology of war, is that you are going to defend that family that's near you that you build in war. It's true. It's just fundamentally fact. There's not an issue of politics at that point in time. It's an issue of coming home alive to your family and to what hopefully you're there for, which is hopefully a right reason. In the greater scope of warfare and the politics and movement, and what war always ends up being is the best and the worst of humanity. You can see some of the greatest acts of humanitarian relief and care and love and self-sacrifice that you will ever witness anywhere, any place in the universe, literally, that happen in war. At the same time, you will equally see some of the most destructive and heinous things you can ever witness in war. That's warfare. And so it takes the best and the worst of humanity and it smacks it into one. That changes people. It changes the way you see the world. It changes a nation at the end when those soldiers come home and they start to settle in. Right now, we're in a very particular time right now of deep reflection, change, and awakening to where many of the lies and the structures of which we were built on are falling apart. Some people call this the age of Aquarius. Others, like myself, refer to it the age of awakening and the age of accountability, which I think is a lot more apropos to walking with Christ. But in the sense of accountability, as we walk forward here, those that have walked in war and are seeing what's happening here had come home, many of them had come home to simply be here, not be bothered again, to be left to live their lives. And unfortunately, that's not the time we're in. Everybody's being called to come to the line. And with that, as we're being called, we're also having to face an accountability for the places we walked and the decisions we made and even the judgments that we placed on others. So I say all that in full circle back to Julian Assange, one of the most profound journalists of our time that took the risk to publish things like the stuff that Manning sent him and others that were using people, inside sources, with documents which the governments have claimed to be sensitive, have claimed to be classified, and always using the thing that if you do this, if you publish this, you're going to endanger soldiers. I just want to run a quick sidebar on this, which is an important parallel to the story and one of the areas that has made me give great reconsideration to Julian Assange. In 2006, actually it was the end of July of 2006, beginning of August 2006, I published three videos that were of the Canadians in combat in Kandahar and Helmand province. That embed and that footage was authorized by Lieutenant Colonel Ian Hope of the Canadian forces that was in charge of the Canadian forces at the time. In fact, in a local ceremony in Kandahar, I was given what's called the Orion Coin, which was the highest honor to be given for the work done of being with the soldiers and telling the truth. That footage you can see in the film that is posted freely for everybody to watch on the Bards FM channel on YouTube. And those three videos together ended up resulting in the awarding of an Emmy Award a year later. Now, why do I tell you all this? Because what followed was an unbelievable wrath of the Canadian government. And so it gave me a glimpse, a very small glimpse, into what Julian Assange has stepped into. In a process of weeks, the Canadian government leveraged every bit of force they could to have me physically removed from Afghanistan. The Canadian Commons, their parliament, debated my name by name on the Commons floor, requesting to have my name blacklisted forever from ever being ever able to enter Canada. The media went into full cycle and claimed that I was revealing state secrets and endangering soldiers downrange with what I was revealing in the footage. And they even tried to ensue an investigation and use my footage to investigate the soldiers in the footage to charge them with war crimes. This is how a government works, and this is how our own government works, and this is what our government is doing now to Julian Assange, but on a whole nother level. So this piece I'm going to play here is by Julian Assange's wife. It's about 10 minutes, and I listened to it last night, and very moving and a very strong statement, including positionings you're going to have to swallow if you are very much in favor of President Trump. There are some very harsh judgments levied at President Trump, and I don't know that they're wrong, is my point. And especially since the judgments that are levied tie in with Pompeo, who we know is a hand puppet stooge of the CIA. So I need you to listen to this. It's going to be about 8, 9, or 10 minutes of really good commentary. Here we go.
The US and UK are happy to talk about political prisoners abroad, but they've created a political prisoner of their own. At every stage, the law has been abused in order to victimize Julian. He has been silenced, he has been disappeared. The last time Julian was allowed to attend his own court hearing was in January 2021. Every time he's requested to be there in person, those requests have been denied. Julian did nothing wrong. He exposed war crimes committed by known individuals. Those who committed the war crimes or responsible for those war crimes have not been held accountable. Julian is in prison because WikiLeaks is a publisher that specializes in the secrets that states keep the most hidden. Julian revealed war crimes by the US government, the world's superpower, in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the fact that it had normalized institutionalized torture. And that superpower took revenge. The position of the UK right now is that it will extradite a publisher to the country that conspired to murder him. How can the UK government even contemplate the extradition of the man who the US was trying to assassinate. This assassination plot was as revenge for what WikiLeaks had published. The story has over 30 US intelligence officials, including very senior and named, going on record and saying that the US government was actively plotting to assassinate Julian inside the UK. This is incredible. This is a country plotting to assassinate a journalist because of what he has published. This is precisely what the UK government criticizes in other states. Conspiring to murder a journalist is wrong. It's wrong if Russia does it, and it's wrong if the United States does it too. But there's a lot of this story that we still don't know. How much did the UK government know? How far was the UK government willing to go along with the US government's plans under the CIA directorship of Mike Pompeo? These are questions that remain unanswered. The United States government is the only one that has committed crimes here. Julian has done nothing wrong. By prosecuting Julian for doing the right thing, they're also denying the existence and the validity of what he exposed. Because the United States is not a member of the International Criminal Court, the only accountability that exists is the exposure through WikiLeaks of the fact that these people were killed. So by prosecuting Julian, they're not just prosecuting Julian. They're putting the memory of all those people in prison, too.
Light them all up. Hey, Roger. Keep shooting.
There's no question that the information that WikiLeaks published about the Iraq and Afghan wars and Guantanamo Bay was in the public interest. Julian is being prosecuted under the 1917 Espionage Act. That act was enacted during the First World War. US constitutional lawyers have long worried that the broad wording of the Espionage Act would be repurposed in order to go after the press. The Trump administration decided to prosecute Julian and WikiLeaks because the agenda of the Trump administration was to target the press. The US First Amendment is the gold standard globally on press freedom, and the prosecution against Julian is the single greatest attack there has been on the First Amendment, and that is Trump's legacy. My message to Joe Biden is that you are furthering the worst legacy of the Trump administration. Don't let this also be your legacy. Drop this case. If you don't drop this case will be used by future administrations in order to silence dissent, in order to silence the press. This is the most serious attack on press freedom there has ever been. The United States government is saying that any person, anywhere, is bound by the US Espionage Act. This is a completely absurd and dangerous proposition. Julian is not a US citizen. He's an Australian citizen who was working as a journalist in the United Kingdom. He owes no allegiance to the US government. He received information from a source, Chelsea Manning, and he published it. That's all he did. And now the United States is threatening Julian with a life sentence, 175 years. It advances the absurd notion that a country can limit press freedom beyond its borders, that it can crack down on foreign journalists abroad. Imagine if Turkey now uses the same logic that the US has used to say that a British journalist in France should be extradited to Turkey because that journalist exposed some state-sponsored crime of Turkey's, or Saudi Arabia or China. Every journalist should be alarmed about this, because if they can do it to someone as high profile as Julian, then everyone else can suffer the same fate. The fact that people have such a poor understanding about this case is down to the media. It is the media's responsibility to properly report this case, and it has not been properly reported. And that's why the public is so ignorant about it. Now, why has the media reported so poorly about this case? Part of the reason is because Julian is a media critic. He's not just a publisher, but he has been very critical of the way that the media has reported, for example, WikiLeaks publications. WikiLeaks also poses a challenge to the legacy media, because the WikiLeaks model is what Julian calls scientific journalism, to publish original source documents alongside the analysis in order to allow the reader to draw their own conclusions, to access the same information that the journalists did in order to assess the material themselves. And that's why WikiLeaks is such an important resource for academics and historians, not just journalists. Because Julian's case is a political case, it's entirely up to the political circumstances what is possible and what is not possible. The case is so outrageous that it should be thrown out. It is also politically dangerous and counterproductive for the United Kingdom. By prosecuting Julian, they lose their ability to claim the moral high ground. The fact the UK is now calling out war crimes in relation to the Ukraine, it follows that the UK should not extradite a publisher who put evidence of war crimes into the public domain. Since the 11th of April 2019, Julian has been inside Belmarsh High Security Prison, which is the harshest prison in the UK, known as Britain's Guantanamo Bay. He's been inside Belmarsh Prison day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, in a small prison cell on his own for most of the day. His interactions are with prisoners, some of which are dangerous. He is suffering greatly. He suffered a mini stroke in October, and obviously that's a sign that his health is in serious decline. It's also a difficult struggle for him mentally. Julian suffers from clinical depression. He has all his adult life. And it's obviously very difficult for him spending so much time in isolation away from his children and from his family and friends. I have two children with Julian. They are 3 and 4. Our eldest was born when Julian was still in the embassy in 2017, and he would go to the embassy to visit Julian. We kept it secret, so a friend would come in posing as his father, until a guard from the embassy approached me outside the embassy and said that I shouldn't bring the baby in anymore because they had been instructed to steal a nappy in order to analyze the baby's DNA. Our youngest just turned 3. He was a few weeks old when Julian was first arrested, and he's only ever seen his father inside Belmarsh Prison. For both of them, the only memories they have of Julian is inside Belmarsh Prison. Because I don't know how long our children will have with their father, if they just have a few months maybe, before Julian's taken to the United States and will most likely lose his life there. I try to make their experience with their father as enjoyable and light as possible. I don't talk about the fact that we're going to a prison. I've just said that there are bad people that are preventing Julian from coming home, but that he wants to be at home. But obviously when they go into the prison, they experience the prison. They walk past the razor wire, they get sniffed by the sniffer dogs. They have to get searched multiple times going into the prison inside their mouth and under their feet. So they experience it themselves. But I don't want the experience to be scary or intimidating. So I do my best to make it a normal situation. The only thing that matters to me is to be able to reunite my family again. Julian has been deprived of being able to see his children grow up day to day. All we want is to be a normal family. The fact that he's being deprived from his family for no reason at all, just out of a spiteful, cruel sense of vengeance by the superpower who he exposed, has to come to an end. No one should be treated this way. I ask each of you to help me fight for Julian. Go to don'textraditeassange.com. There's a tab that says take action. Take all the actions where it says take action. Write to your MP. Come to the protests. There may be a way that you are specially placed to help me free Julian. Please contact me directly. Every person can contribute to help fight for his freedom, help bring him home, help reunite Julian with our young children. It is incredibly important that stories that don't get enough airtime in the mainstream media are able to be covered elsewhere. I encourage each person that can afford it to support independent journalists, independent media like Double Down News. So if you can, please support Double Down News on Patreon.
Patriots, this is a very powerful story. And when you reflect on the crime that he's done, and I just want to put what they say he's done, I want to put this in context. We are flooding our border with known killers right now. We have a government that is being run by known pedophiles. And it is a global cabal of criminal organizations that are pushing fentanyl across our border, allowing it to come in, giving stand down orders to our defense at the southern border. We have a criminal cabal that is literally pushing the takeover of this nation by acquisition of property. We are having a government that is flooding money in to try to perpetuate a global war with Russia through Ukraine as a proxy. And the CIA openly admits now that it is involved in a proxy war using Ukraine to provoke a war with Russia. That was in the New York Times. We have a government that is openly and willingly pouring money into the satanic cabal that runs what is known as the country of Israel. And Israel is a country now that is so consumed by its hatred that they literally see Palestinians as a group of people that need to be erased off the face of the earth. That's about 90 to 95% of the Israelis believe that right now. And so this man is, all this is happening, and this man is being held in the harshest prison in the UK, equivalent to our Guantanamo Bay, for simply speaking truth and releasing documents that the government did not give approval to release. So I want to put this all in context because this ties in with January 6th, and it even ties into this program that you listen to right here with me. We are, every day that we come out here and speak truth, and the larger your voice gets in speaking truth, the more that you raise up on the radar of targeting and hatred by this government that we're in. We are not in a country that allows free speech. We're in a country that tolerates a measure of free speech until it gets too much, and then they will persecute it. And that free speech, as continues to happen, will, those opportunities will only intensify, because the truth is the truth. Part of last night's show was to really put in context a lot of the issues of being able to question. We're in a very important point right now as we head into an election year, with the fervor around MAGA and the fervor around Trump, and even the relighting of the fires of Q, of the Great Awakening and the return of power of the great savior of humanity. And I've said this many times, and just like I read with the article from Mike Adams last night, in agreement with that, is the point that I am going to vote for Trump because we have no option right now as a nation. And that may be in the face of some very obvious violations, but I will never stop speaking out against a president. And even that choice, I say I vote for Trump, could change, and I'm open to that. And it's not a change of having to walk with the pack. It's the place that I'll vote where I think is going to be most morally correct. That is going to put me at odds here in the discussions that we have, because I'm not going to lick somebody's boots, and I'm not going to avoid truth. I'm going to speak truth. Those things get very risky when you get around a intensely energized group of people that simply want to be driven by getting one man in office, and ultimately driven by a hatred for another side and a hatred for the left, as we call it. Let me put some things in context as we point the finger towards the Democrats, which is the latest narrative of being the sole problem. George Bush was a Republican. George Bush got us into Iraq. George Bush Jr. was a Republican. George Bush Jr. got us into Iraq too and Afghanistan. Cheney was a Republican. He was part of the entire network of profiteering of his companies for Iraq. And I can go on a list of people, including Pompeo and others. They were all conservative Republicans, including the people like McConnell and others that are in office. They were conservative Republicans. They were supporting these war efforts, John McCain being another, and many others. And so as we throw our stones at the left and we focus in on the singular issue right now, which seems to be the hottest issue, which is children and child sex trafficking, and I don't disagree with the magnitude of that, we're doing a very willful issue of rewriting our own obvious histories and not looking hard at the depths of the Republican Party. I have always said that the most evil of the parties is the Republican Party, because they use the left as their front to do other heinous crimes that people look at, and that we avoid the manipulation of the greatest global crime, which is invoking war on innocent nations and slaughtering innocents. When we can talk about child sex trafficking as an example, satanic ritual abuse and all of that cult, it's one of its greatest efforts of sacrifice for power comes through war. and the slaughtering of innocent children in nations. And if you want to look where that energy of war came from, it came from the Republican Party. So I caution the blind, and I will always speak boldly against the blind obedience to any president. Trump, at this point, by calculus, is an unavoidable future, whether you like it or not. The magnitude of what he carries and what he does with this movement and the reawakening of the national fervor and pride of the American people has a positive. But with that positive, we can't turn our backs on the obvious that at the end of the day, returning power to the people means you need more Julian Assanges. You don't need less. And that makes people very uncomfortable because that means things like carrying a message in the pulpit to say that the pulpit is corrupt when people don't want to hear it. It's carrying messages that people are uncomfortable hearing. And when people get uncomfortable, they want to temper those messages. They want to tone them down. They want to step back from them. They don't want to hear them because it unsettles them. Here's the fact. Truth is unsettling. And there's a lot of truths that have to be unraveled and let go. And we have to start facing ourselves as humanity and realizing that we, the people, have the power. It has nothing to do with leaders. Leaders ultimately are men, and they are corruptible and will fail. So again, Trump's got his stamp on this. Whether we like it or not, Trump has his stamp on authorizing the prosecution of Julian Assange. Here's the twist of it that makes it so distorted. Through the Q movement, that stamp of approval and prosecution was seen as a cover to move Julian Assange into a place of the greater awakening and helping whatever Q is to free humanity. This has proven to be absolute garbage. Julian Assange is in the most high security prison being held as a prisoner as if he had done some heinous crime like destroyed an entire city of people with a nuclear bomb simply for releasing the truth of the war crimes that we did in Iraq and other places. And that truth that he released was sent out by what is now known as Chelsea Manning, who delivered the truth to him and he released it. WikiLeaks was also responsible for us getting a glimpse into the depth of the pedophilia network under John Podesta and the communications that were supportive of the discoveries found in Pizzagate. All these things are being washed over. Yet this is the fabric of the entire organization, which is in leadership. War is a necessary part of this economy, which we're in. And it's equally a necessary part of the power structure in which they've created. We have President Trump, who is now has become openly Jewish. We have Jared, his son-in-law, who is, quite frankly, by evidence, tied to Mossad. These things should concern us as a nation. We point our finger at the other side saying they're compromised with China. Let's also equally point our finger at those that are equally compromised by Israel and other places. But in this Christian fervor that we have in our nation of brainwashing, to speak out at the pulpit of any fashion against Israel is considered blasphemous to God. And this is the craziness of it all, is that there's no logical thinking to even sit back and take a breath to realize that people are getting played. And we are. And they're being neutralized and they're being walked into one of the greatest traps of all times. Our free will and our ability to stand up for truth is going to be the greatest weapon in this war. And that it goes back to the beginning, as far back, even in the book of Enoch, that it's always been about free will and choosing whom you serve. As long as we place God first and we choose to serve God first, we will be fine. But that will put everyone at odds at one point or another with no matter who runs for office, as it should. Because if we can't take the power that's given to us to challenge that president for who he is, remembering that he is just another person, not a god, then we have failed as our mission as members of a republic. There is so much deception going on, and there is so much need for truth, and there's so much need for more work like Julian Assange. And at the root of so much that has happened, there has been great work like Julian Assange, but even now, truth has been echoed around the cults of things like Q, or the cults of MAGA, or the cults of woke, or the cults of environmentalism. And we're not getting to the core truths that are the hardest to speak. Julian Assange is not popular with the press because, to a large degree, the press is controlled by the intelligence agencies. So he's not, when we talk about a free press, and when this is another slippery slope, and we talk about the press being the enemy of the people, that's another very slippery slope situation. Because with that fervor of hatred for a press that's openly owned by the CIA, the MI6, MI5, Mossad, and other intelligence agencies around the world, and even those of privatized intelligence agencies like the Black Pope and the Jesuits, we create an environment where we willfully give away our rights because we're attacking something that's owned by the enemy. Think about this just a minute. This is truly the motto, both ends to the middle, by deception we wage war. You create the enemy so that people will attack the enemy, so that people will agree to destroying the enemy, and in so doing, you give authority across the board to punish anyone and everyone that ultimately questions the authorities that they were being used by the enemy. It's a great way to destroy things right before your very eyes. I can't confirm this, but it's something that just keeps lurking at me and bothering me a great deal. If the report I read is true. Now, again, I'm not saying it is, but it's very important to keep these things in mind, and they should put a red flag when we hear them. There has been discussion that I have been coming across that apparently within the Trump camp, that in the efforts to mobilize a deportation of illegal aliens that are now here in this country, they have talked about even rounding up those that have protested against the Israeli invasion, occupation, and destruction of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Now, that's frightening, because what you're basically saying is that in your protest, you're declaiming them as enemies of the state as justification to deport somebody. And yet on this soil, regardless of who you are, you have always been given a right for freedom of protest. This mentality is easy to fan up and fan the flames of. And very quickly, you can turn a presidency that can talk very boldly about strong foreign policy, standing against evil, standing against the enemy of the people, which is the press, all these things. And you can very quickly turn yourself into a prison state by virtue of the rules that people will agree with that all along were just rules designed to be created to destroy your free right, the First Amendment. So, in this political year, and one of the reasons I keep saying this is the fervor around Trump is growing. The MAGA movement is back. I'm not criticizing it if it's going to do something good. But if it doesn't pivot itself from the basis of our relationship in God and our love in Christ, the MAGA movement will just become another tyranny. And we're very close to that. And that's the question really as a nation of where we want to go. If we do not anchor everything in God, and unfortunately, at this point anyway, Trump is not openly following a faith-based platform. He is still at the core of it, talking about vengeance as a core. We have a problem. And as a nation of somebody, the people are eager to see justice. Justice in this nation has always been anchored in our faith through Christ and through Christ to the Father. That's documented in our founding fathers. That is part of the moral law, which is a law that is equitable, not a law that's biased. And that leads us always to the importance of people becoming empowered. One of those reasons that I've encouraged people so much to follow Jaron Jackson and his mentor, Dave, to start learning the principles of common law, to understand what our duty and responsibility is in this nation as true sovereigns and by the authorities that were given to us by the Declaration of Independence. Because again, once we assume those authorities, the power of the president diminishes to something very minimal. But right now, the power of the presidency is seen as the great hope for America. Think about that just for a minute. We have a country that's based on three branches of government: legislative, executive, and judicial. And we have conversations right now going on that are constantly pushing towards giving one group of people more power than the other. In the executive branch, people on the left have cheered on Joe Biden because his ability to levy law through, quote unquote, change in a nation by proxy using executive order. That has never been a process of our government. That is a tyranny. And equally, we still go back to many of Trump's executive orders that people point to that are still in action. One of those being the seizure of assets by people that violated certain laws. I'm not against in principle, but I am against in function. Because this, again, we have created a power space of executive branch that is greater than Congress and has become an authoritarian power. All of these things need to be questioned very heavily. I understand the challenges we face when you have an entire government that has been seized and controlled, and it's being controlled by proxy to a large degree by the state of Israel. We know this. This is not a question. This is not blasphemous. It's a function of money, and it's a function of dual citizenship. And it's provable, documentable. To even speak that, you risk being tagged as an anti-Semite, which is what they love to use. And I've played that piece already where Mossad's number one action is to get somebody tagged because it's a stain, as they say, that no one can walk away from. Fortunately, we're moving to a greater circle where people are beginning to question that because we've created a class of people that is untouchable. When you have a president that's walking with those group of people, and he himself is becoming untouchable, it is a concern. And now he's a presidential candidate again, though he was president. It's the same issue. We have to be very open and be willing to criticize and challenge. And if those avenues get shut down, it should throw up red flags. We don't want to become another version of what we're trying to destroy. And ultimately, that's what's beginning to happen. We have seen already that there have been groups that have been developed, one of which was a Q movement that was on Truth Social. This came out about 18 months ago, whose sole function was to silence voices that did not promote certain narratives that they wanted to. They would use their same tactics as the left to silence other conservative voices. We're seeing this happen. We're hearing that Laura Trump, if she gets in up in the higher ranks of the Republican Party, is going to pursue ballot harvesting at a level never before seen. This is creating two wrongs to somehow create a right. And instead of walking a moral integritous line where everybody votes and we see again the open destruction of the system because of cheating and then push towards change, we're simply going to rig it and game it so that we win. That's not a right way of going about things. One can justify anything in war, trust me. You can even go into a raid on a house and pack in enemy weapons on your back in case you kill kids and throw those weapons at their feet just to be able to take photographs and say things like the enemy was here just in case you make a mistake. Not that that ever happens. You can do anything in war. Trust me. And we're in a war, and with this, the greatest part of this war is to create a moral line here. To hold to the principles of what our founding fathers would want us to be, to wage this war in the most intense way, which is truth and doing the action locally. This government has no power when the majority of the counties take positions as constitutional counties. It has none. But it's the hardest work. It's easier to vote for a president to say, fix it, Mr. President. And I've said this all along, and you know this. You're not fixing anything in this nation until we do a moral reset at the very foot of God. So that's our job. That's our job on a daily basis. Our job to get down into the trenches, to communicate with our neighbors, to get into our churches, to get the pulpits to start speaking truth and break away from their bondages put upon them by the 501c3s and the gag orders that they willfully accept that they don't even have to, but they do. We have to get into the truths of where the real truth is, and that's getting into scripture and letting people understand what it is that this fight is truly about. We have to step away from the politics of the hatred between one side and another and walk a different moral line, which is constitutional and in the body of Christ. And when we do that, we start to become hugely victorious locally. We start to see the takeover of county commissions and sheriffs to empower them as the true constitutional sheriffs that they need to be, to have the authority that's equal, nearly equal to that of a president at a local level. Reestablishing the entire principles of a republic, which is not one that is united by force under a federal government, but is united in common agreement because of a constitution that then levies a certain amount of power to a federal government, but a small federal government simply to ensure the safety and security of the country. It is a place where by counties, as we come together, we start to mobilize, not waiting for states to give us authority, but in fact rebuking states when they are a violation of the Constitution, so that individual spaces, county by county, this nation is reset. There's approximately 3,300 counties in this country. If you get half of them, majority of them are already red. The question is, are they red and constitutional, and are they red and anchored in the principles of a Christian nation, which is what we are. Like it or not, that is what we are. And so when we empower those tools locally and we begin to take and wage war together locally, understanding that your fight is very local, that the federal is means very little to anything, then we come to a place of being able to truly take this nation back as it should be, and the federal government has no control. But we're entering into an era with a distorted optimism, and one that we need to be very cautious of. The border agents now that are willfully complying with illegal orders put forth by President Biden and his administration, done by executive order, vote, literally ruling the country by proxy, are supposed to somehow magically change their position when Trump signs a new executive order that tells them to seal the border. Think about that for a minute. The Constitution has made it very clear what their responsibilities are, regardless of presidency. And yet, these individuals are now in violation of the Constitution, and we're going to cheer them when they go compliant with the Constitution simply by virtue of a change in presidency, because one president writes an executive order and the other nullifies it. That should disturb everybody. Because as a people, as a republic, we have the responsibility of upholding the Constitution, not a president. Quite to the contrary, we have the responsibility of ensuring that the president upholds the Constitution and doesn't use executive order to work to function by proxy. And with that, we have the responsibility of each and every member of Congress to hold their feet to the fire to ensure that they uphold the Constitution. And when that becomes impossible, we are given those authorities in the Declaration of Independence to throw off such forms of government and reset one that's through the better wills of the people. But this is the problem right there, is the unwillingness to engage, to be involved, and ultimately get involved locally. Because if you had 3,000 counties, say, that were constitutional and walking in that place, and you had a federal government that decided to go rogue, which it is right now, that would be 3,000 counties that would say, sorry, but no. And the federal government would have no power. And they have the authority within each county, which is the sheriff. And the sheriff, with a county commission and a district attorney, that has the power to prosecute crimes, meaning that if any of those people happened to be in their county, they could charge them with crimes. And furthermore, you have 3,000 counties and 3,000 sheriffs that have the ability to mobilize a militia, a legal militia, which would be deputizing its people with the authority of arrest, as a sheriff does. That's the power of a sheriff in a county well organized. And when we understand those principles and the power of what that means, this country becomes ours again. We don't need federal government. And that is the bottom line of what everybody's afraid of. Even those quote unquote good elites that are standing up in the gap as great billionaires, because the military industrial complex and all the engines of government that don't want to be erased don't truly want the power back to the people. Because if they do have it, they know that they cease to exist. Wall Street ceases to be able to launder the money of taxpayer money into profits, and the big power brokers of the world cease to have the power over the people. We have the power. We just have to decide to take it. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today very humbled, and we thank you for all that you give us and all that you have given us in this nation. Today, our prayer is simply to awaken the hearts of the many to realize the true power and authority which you gave us in this nation. This is unprecedented in its time. a country that is truly ruled by and for the people through the gifts and powers given to us by you. And those authorities can never be stripped or taken away. And so, Father, we just pray today an awakening of that position. It's a position shift to step away from the idolatries of leadership, the idolatries of institutions of power like the military, to start focusing on the true power of the people, acting out their will through the blessings and guidance and clarity which you give us at a local level, county by county, to create a fabric that's unbreakable, a distributed network that's unshakable, that truly takes the power back to the people. This works in antithesis to the senses of power of people in power want. They do not want to give away their power. We know that. And yet, we are in a place right now where that is the power that we need to seize. So, Father, we just pray for that awakening in the hearts of the people, the warrior hearts of Christ to lift up and for people to truly see and realize the true sense of importance of in this hour to anchor your power at a local level, to stand boldly for the truth of the pulpit, to stand, if that doesn't work, to open a home church, to take your kids out of the federal indoctrination camps and start taking the responsibility to educate our children, to take the responsibility to grow your own food and not be dependent on the supermarkets and the corporate network of things, to take your responsibility to have your own work, to follow your where you guide us, to earn a living like Paul's tent making, to take responsibility for our health and wellness, to understand that health centers first and foremost through you, through miracle healings, all the way down to the natural things you provided in our world, and to be able to master those as children of the Most High, to become informed in our communities, which is anchored ultimately in Scripture and in common law and in the understanding of our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. And finally, Father, to be good stewards of this land, to be stewards and to be able to steward and use things well so that we don't waste and overuse, but simply to be blessed with what is given and to use it to its fullest. All these things we pray in the hearts of the many, to guide us forward each and every step, to see more clearly, to stand more boldly, and to take the power back into our lives. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Patriots, it's an important time to really stand boldly in the gap. And that, to me, is the real call. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. It's easy to follow the flow. It's hard at times to take the path that is not where everyone else is going. And it doesn't mean that we have to be, we're in no way are we trying to infuse hatred, but we are trying to infuse truth. And that's the most important thing. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs
and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.